Yaakov Avinu, our father Jacob, is now preparing to bless his grandchildren. Even though it says he's going to bless Yosef, we talked about that. Ultimately, the blessings will be conferred upon Menashe and Ephraim. And in yesterday's reading, we hear of Jacob maneuvering his hands in a particular way over the heads of his grandchildren. So the third reading opens with Joseph taking note of this. In chapter 48, verse 17, Vayar Yosef, Joseph sees ki yoshis oviv yad yemino al rosh Ephraim, that his father has placed his right hand, meaning the stronger hand, over the head of Ephraim. Vayera be'enav. In his eyes, this looks really bad. So Yosef intervenes. Vayismoch yad oviv lohosar Yosef al rosh Ephraim. Yosef lifts his father's hand off Ephraim's head. He doesn't actually move it, but he lifts the hand off his head as if to suggest to his father that, no, this is not the right thing. You put your right hand over the younger son. Now, this is an old story, right? In the previous generation, we had the younger son and the oldest son. We have Esav, we have Yaakov, and the blessings ultimately are conferred on the younger son, whose name is Yaakov. And then a generation earlier, we have a showdown between Yosef and his brothers, where Yaakov gives attention to Yosef, and that doesn't go very well. And the elder brothers are jealous, and it engenders lots of trouble. So Yosef intervenes. He's going to try to change the course of history, as it were. And he takes the hand, his father's right hand, or the stronger hand, off the head of Ephraim, and he places it al Rosh Menashe, on the head of Menashe. Rashi says, Yosef didn't actually move his father's hand. That would be outright insolence or chutzpah. He didn't actually move his father's hand. He lifted his hand. Heirima. He lifted it, me'al Rosh Beno. He lifted it from the head of his son. V'samcha b'yadei. He was hoping that Yaakov himself would move his hand. He wouldn't move Yaakov's hand. Yaakov, so there's this idea of placing a hand when conferring blessing. So Yaakov has maneuvered his hands in a way that his right hand was over the head of Ephraim and his left hand was over the head of Menashe. So Yosef lifts his father's right hand. He lifts the hand. He doesn't move the hand. He's not going to intervene. He's not going to tell his father what to do. His father's the Rebbe. You know, you don't mess around. This is the greatest person alive, the greatest Jew alive. The holiest, the closest to God, the person who has the vision of the future. He even knows when Mashiach's coming. He's just not able to talk about it, even though he wants to. He knows everything. He knows what he's doing. But Yosef's very uncomfortable with this. So he's kind of hoping he can stimulate his father's thought process. He just lifts the hand, thinking maybe his father assumed that he had placed Menashe on his right, which meant that he would be now on Yaakov's left. And so just lifting the hand, just suggestive. Vayomer Yosef, then Yosef, in case his father doesn't understand what he's doing, Yosef says, Olaviv, lo kein avi. No, Dad, it's not. Don't worry, I knew what I was doing. I arranged the boy's right. Ki zeh habachor, this is the eldest. Sim yemincha al rosho. Please place your right hand on his head. Now, clearly, there seems to be some kind of a showdown here between Yosef and his father. To the point that Yosef is saying, no, that's not the firstborn. So the obvious question is, did not Yosef see his father maneuver his hands? It says, sikel es yadav. The word sikel comes to the word seichel. Seichel means father did this intelligently. It was a maneuver. It wasn't an accident. So the simple answer is, like the Rashbam talks about this, Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, they suggest that Yaakov was clearly maneuvering his hands, but Yosef thought he was probably maneuvering his hands because he assumed I made a mistake. He assumed that my right is his left and my left is his right, so Yaakov was doing this. So he wasn't really arguing with his father per se. It was as if to say, no, Dad, I arranged it that way to begin with. I know what you want to do. But of course, that's not the case. It's not the case at all. Now, I have to tell you that not all the Mefarshim agree with this approach. For example, the Ma'am Lois quotes numerous opinions suggesting that Yosef was afraid that his father was suggesting that maybe the children weren't so legitimate, and maybe Yosef didn't really get married, and maybe there was wedlock, and maybe he was trying to express his displeasure or something like this. So it's not so simple, because Yaakov could simply have said, I can't see, I'm blind, where's Menashe, where's Ephraim? Like, what's going on over here? Yaakov demurs, Vayimo'ein Aviv, his father demurs, Vayomer, he says, Yodati, Vni, Yodati, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I know who the firstborn is. I know what you did. Gam hu yi elo'om. He will also be a great nation. Gam hu yigdal. He will also wax great. However, ulam achiv hakotan yigdal mimenu. The younger brother, he will rise in a far greater fashion. And as such, v'zara yi emolei hagoyim. His seed, his progeny, the renown of his progeny will fill the world. And so, Yaakov essentially is saying, this is the way it has to be. I need to give the blessing to the one who needs it. As Rashi says, Yodati b'ni Yodati, I know, he says, Shehu ha-Bechor, I know that Menashe is the firstborn. Gam hu yil'am, v'gam hu yigdol. Who is the great nation? It's not simply population, it's who is going to be born from them. Rashi says, Asid Gidon, latzeit mimenu. Gidon is a descendant of Menashe, he's from the tribe of Menashe. Shakadish Baruch Hu Eisen Nesal Yode. How do we know that Gidon is a great man? Gidon, after all, has very, very humble, lowly origins. And he doesn't seem to be the sharpest knife, the sharpest blade in the draw when you compare him with the Jewish leadership over the ages. How do we know Gidon is so great? So Rashi says, we know that Gidon is great because God chose Gidon to do a miracle through him. And if God chose Gidon to be the agent through which his miracles express itself, there's got to be something special about Gidon. So he's great too. However, his younger brother will have progeny that is far greater and therefore needs the blessing in a very different way. Which progeny does Yaakov allude to? Says Rashi, Sha'osid Yehoshua Lotzeshimenu. Joshua, the successor of Moses, who is from the tribe of Ephraim, he is the one who Yaakov has in mind. Sheyanchil Asaretz. He is a major millennial leader, the historic figure who will bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. V'yilamid Torah li'Yisrael. He is the one who teaches Torah to the Jewish people after the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu. After Moshe and Yeshua, it becomes teaching by agency, by committee, a Sanhedrin. The last great leader, singular leader for a very long time is Yehoshua. And he is the successor of Moshe. Zariyah Maloy HaGoyim. How will all the nations know about him? After all, this sounds like something great for the Jewish people. How has he become renowned amongst the nations? Rashi says, Kol ha'olam yismalei, the whole world will be filled with his renown, b'tzeis shamay, as his reputation will spread internationally. Ushmoy, and his name will become known by all. How? There was no Facebook then. How would everybody know about Joshua? And the answer is, k'sheyamid chama b'givayin, when he, Joshua, will have the sun stand still on the third day of Tammuz, in Givon, in order for the Jewish people to conclude their battle, everybody saw the sun. And eventually everybody found out how the sun stood still, that it was Joshua who made the sun stand still. Nobody else did something like that. V'yoreach be'emek ayolon. And then when there's this battle, and in the valley in the of Ayolon, there the moon stops. So Yehoshua, so to speak, stops the heavenly bodies for their movement so that the Jewish people can accomplish their mission. So he needs a blessing more. All right, so here's the question. If we're going to say that Yaakov and that Yosef were both very, very great people, far greater than we are, and I think it's very important when we study things like this to understand that you cannot simply see them through the prism of ordinary and everyday life. They were people who lived with a deep sense of destiny and a deep and elevated sense of consciousness, and they knew things that other people didn't know, and they were motivated by that knowledge and by that inspiration and by that awareness. So like, surely Yosef must have known this too. If Yaakov knew it, Yosef knew it. And the Rebbe asks this question in the Biurim on the page Shin Lamed Hey, Simon Yud Gimel. The Rebbe says, is it not borer, is it not clear to us the way we view these patriarchal figures, she'achiv hakotan yigdol mimenu, that Yosef would not have known that that Ephraim is greater, that he would have a progeny of an entirely different caliber. You can't compare Gidon to Yoshua. Simply, it's no contest. So what was he thinking? What was the differing, the essence of the difference? What was the motivation of this differing approach where Yosef says, no, Menashe, he's the one who needs the greater blessing, and Yaakov says, wrong, it's Ephraim who needs the greater blessing. And in order to answer this question, they're asked another question. So if Ephraim has the greater spiritual force, and that's why it's from his progeny that Joshua, one of the greatest people of all time, is going to come, so why did God not make Ephraim the firstborn? So Ephraim should be the firstborn, Menashe should be the secondborn, Yoshua will come from Ephraim, Gidon will come from Menashe, and then the end of the story. You have no issues. Yaakov doesn't have to maneuver his hands, Yosef doesn't have to argue with his father, there'll be no questions. Instead, Hashem makes Menashe firstborn, and Ephraim secondborn. But Ephraim is going to have Yoshua, so Yaakov has to maneuver his hands. Who needed all this tzaddis? Why couldn't we just have it in a straightforward manner? Just make it work without trouble. So the Rebbe suggests that there is something much, much deeper going on over here. It's based on the commentary of the great Hasidic master, Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk, in his magnum opus called the Noam Elimelech. And he says, over there, there's a discussion about the names of Ephraim and Menashe. We know the names are very meaningful. Actually, we see that especially with regard to the patriarchs and matriarchs, even more so with regard to the Shvatim, that the names are symbolic and remindful of energy and ideology and ideas. They're very powerful representations of who these people really are. So we see that the name of Menashe and Ephraim, Bitu b'shmoisam es hayachas shol Yosef aviyam lishivasi b'mitzrayim. Ephraim and Menashe represent the very different ways that Yosef looked at life in Egypt, which of course is a representation of Galut. Egypt is emblematic of all exiles till the end of time. Menashe was called that name by virtue of the yearning of Yosef. He had gaguim. He had this terrible yearning and desire to be back home. He was very lonely. He missed the land of Israel. He missed his family. As we see it, the Torah takes the time to share with us the thought process of Yosef when he names his son Menashe. Because God has enabled me to overcome the pain, the regret, the loneliness that I feel. So it's a name which is based on that longing. Whereas Ephraim is called his name based on Yosef's expression of thanksgiving to Hashem. It's a name which represents the concept of fruitfulness. Yosef has not survived, he has flourished. Menashe represents survival, and survival represents the idea that life is difficult. I'm not really that happy here. I've been enabled to overcome. Whereas Ephraim represents triumph. Yosef says, not only did I survive, not only do I long and yearn for my home, but in fact, I've been remarkably successful. I've been fruitful here. And the Rebbe goes on further to suggest that these two names represent major themes in how the Jewish people should view our exilic reality as we go through the sands of time and move towards Mashiach. On one hand, every Yid has to feel a sense of Menashe, which means Lizkar Tamid, to remember at all times and in every place, this is not the way things are supposed to be. This is not our real location. It's not who we really are. We cannot forget the fact that ultimately we are Eretz Yisrael Jews, that ultimately we want to go home to Beis Avi. And we have to be careful not to forget. It's very easy for us to sink into the comforts of exile and forget that in the end, ultimately, it's not who we really are. At the same time, you cannot obsess over this only. You cannot obsess over what's missing. You cannot focus singularly on the longing that we have for a better reality. We also have a responsibility to take the proverbial bull by the horns and make the most of our situation. Hifrani alikim. How do we triumph? How do we turn difficult circumstances around and make them a springboard for growth and spiritual development? How do we create the teisefes of Oir v'Kedusha? How do we add light of holiness and spirituality and goodness? And this ultimately, the Rebbe suggests, is the big argument between Yosef and between Yaakov. Yosef said, if I would forget where I came from, I never could have been Yosef. It's only because I constantly remembered where I came from that I was able not to be assimilated and not to sink into the spiritual quagmire that was Egypt of old. However, Yaakov's response is, indeed, Menashe came first. And it's true that the foundation has to be a longing for home and a realization that this is not who we really are, but that cannot be the focus. The ultimate blessing, the ultimate focus has to be on Ephraim, Hifrani Elikim, not on the negativity or what's missing, but rather on the positivity of how we utilize the circumstances to turn things around and to live as best we can, fulfilling the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And in doing so, we are able to accelerate the process of redemption and the Golos and Bezrat Hashem go home to Eretz Yisrael with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu.
Amen.
Even though he doubted, he changed his mind later.
Who?